Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to a brand new edition of the Fro Ballers podcast here at the Ennis Media Studios in Covent Garden, London. Of course, in partnership with Ennis Restaurants and Energy God, where you drink and get your energy up. Ennis Restaurants across London, across Dubai. This is where you get some of the most incredible Nigerian delicacies. You can order online. You can check out the radio as well on Ennis Radio. My name is Adeshope Olajide. I'm your host, and always in the studio joining me to discuss all things sports is a superstar DJ. But for the sake of the Fro Ballers podcast, it's EJ Walls. What's going on, man?
Good, thank you, boss. How are you?
I'm good, man. Had a good weekend. It was extremely cold over this weekend, but it seems to have calmed down a bit.
Well, it was like there's a storm today.
Yeah, I've forgotten what that storm's name is, but it's a storm that's taking over the UK. Yeah. It's crazy. Listen, speaking about a storm, there's a storm brewing at the AFCON Championships. We've been following that closely. This is the weekly rundown of what's going on at the AFCON Championships in Ivory Coast, where we're discussing some of the results, incredible plays, fantastic showings, mediocre plays, and the whole nine. We've seen injuries to superstar players like Mohamed Salah. Now it's been reported that his injury might be a lot serious than what was initially thought. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And we'll be looking at some of the football results, especially those that just ended today with Nigeria qualifying for the knockout stages of the AFCON Championships, but not really in inspiring form. I think we should start there. Nigeria went into today's final group game, having defeated the Ivory Coast in the last match, a tough 1-0 win against the home nation. And this match was going to be important. Guinea-Bissau played Equatorial Guinea, who was currently leading the group. Yeah. And Equatorial Guinea defeated them 4-2. So on paper, it looked like Nigeria was going to have a walkover into the knockout stages against Guinea-Bissau. But when the match eventually took place, it was nothing as predicted. Nigeria labored and toiled for over 90 plus minutes and could only walk away with a 1-0 win.
Own goal.
Which came by an own goal, a gift from the defender on the other side. Let's talk about the match stats. Nigeria had no shots on target, with Guinea-Bissau having 5 shots on target. They had 3 shots off target. Nigeria had 5 shots off target. They had more possession than Nigeria, with 51% of the ball during the entire match, and Nigeria having just 49%. It gets bad to worse when looking at the statistics and this match overall. Walls, what are your thoughts about what you just saw and how you feel about this game?
I can 100% say this is the worst Super Eagles team ever. Even though on paper we looked like, oh, we are the giant of Africa. We are not giants, we're just ants in this AFCON. Yes. We're wasteful. We're not taking our chances. We have so many selfish players who think they are too big or bigger than the country.
Yep.
And I kind of like feel how Samuel Eto'o felt now when he was saying, from the next tournament, they're going to use more of the
home base
player. I think Nigeria needs that as well, because these are European-based or outside-based players now are not delivering.
If you look at the lineup, you're looking at established Premier League players, you know, Premier League champions. You're looking at established players in Serie A champions. You're looking at established players in the Spanish league, La Liga superstars. When you put those kind of players together, the expectation has always been that players that have had the opportunity to play in foreign leagues where there are high pressured matches. We're talking the Premier League, Leicester, Manchester City. We're talking Everton. We're looking at some of these incredible football clubs, but when they go home and be a part of the Nigerian national team, it looks like their individual talent is not being translated into team talent.
Because they don't care.
Wow.
Because they don't care. They don't care about their country. The way they're playing is because they just want to be part of the culture of playing. Okay, I went to AFCON.
International
player. They are not playing for their country. I can categorically say to any of them.
Wow.
They're not going to give me money. I don't need their money.
You're looking at Semi Ajayi Ola, I know. You're looking at Iwobi. You're looking at Chukwueze. You're looking at a lot of football players.
With what I saw today against Guinea-Bissau, if we can convincingly beat Guinea-Bissau and we're being wasteful in front of the goal, then trust me, knockout stage, we're out.
Okay, let's talk about Guinea-Bissau then. Were you surprised by the way they played? They had more possession. They had more shots on goal. They looked like they were even trying to win the match.
I wasn't surprised because I said here in the last episode, I said we need to come up because African Cup of Nations is not
a joke.
It's not a joke. But these players, these big players come and think, oh, they're just here to, you know, probably get a walkthrough match because they're from Europe. No. Look at the other guy from Equatorial Guinea. The guy's a 34-year-old guy, Nsue, and I've been mentioning him.
Scoring goals.
Yes, a 34-year-old player playing in the third league in Spain. He plays for Alicante.
Wow.
And you from Napoli, you can't score a goal? Okay. Missing chances?
Now you're talking about Victor Osimhen. If you're just joining us, this is the Throw Ballers podcast. And as I speak, Enish Restaurant has just delivered the first dish of the day on our Throw Ballers podcast. If you're joining for the first time, this is where we eat some Nigerian food whilst we speak sports. Now, whilst quickly before we go back into Victor Osimhen, what is this being delivered on the table?
This is the
almighty
Enish jollof rice.
Okay.
Almighty Enish Nigerian jollof rice.
No, you had to be specific.
Yes, the best jollof rice in the world. Sorry okay. To my Ghanaian people. And
what about the Senegalese? They own the Gambians. They own the jollof rice.
No, never like the Nigerians.
Okay, and what is that little sauce on the side? What does
that's,
that?
That's the beef.
Yeah.
In a well garnished stew.
Wow.
Yes, and I'm telling everyone not to come and taste it in all our branches. I'm sure most people in London have done it.
So is it the same? Quick question.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Is this the same recipe across the 11 branches in the UK, in London, and the 3 branches in Dubai?
Yes.
So if I taste the Enish jollof rice in Covent Garden here, and I go over to Knightsbridge,
yeah,
I'm getting the same taste.
Same thing. And that's one thing with us at Enish is the quality.
Yeah.
We don't joke about it.
Okay.
We maintain it all in all our branches.
Wow.
And that's one thing that's been helping us. And yeah, I just want people to come and if you haven't been to Enish, we have people from all the way from America.
Absolutely.
When they visit London, the first place they want to go to is Enish.
And the location is fantastic as well.
We
and
pick there our locations branches carefully.
Across London.
Across London.
In specific locations.
Yes.
Making it accessible. Now, let's go back to the sports. We're talking about Napoli, talking about Victor Osimhen, currently the best player in Africa. Won Napoli.
He's not showing it now. So.
Won Napoli, their first league title in over 30 years. I believe the last time they did that was when they had Diego Maradona, the late, great Diego Maradona. What is the problem? They're giving him opportunities. They're creating chances for him. They're passing the ball his way, but he just can't seem to compose himself well enough to score when it matters.
I love him. I like him as a player. I love the way he plays. But one thing, I think I said it in our first episode, I said he's like he's putting himself under a lot of pressure, unnecessary pressure, because he thinks he wants to carry, like, you know, the whole load on himself, whereas I just want him to be free. And one thing, the coach as well is not helping him, is he didn't do well in the first game. He tried by getting the equalizing goal.
Yeah.
But I still think tactically, our previous coach, Zero or something, is way better than this one. Tactically, we're not playing game. If you know football, we are not playing proper football.
A lot of analysts have been critical about the way Nigeria has gone about this championship so far. The three matches that Nigeria has played hasn't really displayed any form of team football. No. We haven't been able to string six or seven passes together.
Because they all want to impress. They all want to play, oh, I'm the star player of the day. Like, Osimhen had a chance to score today, but he literally passed the ball to Moses. But as a striker, take the shot.
Yeah, but he's low on confidence. He's,
yeah, because also probably the last two matches have, you know, taught him to say, okay, ah, let me square the ball. But now, he shouldn't be the one doing that.
They should be doing it to him. So he should be in position most
of the
time. And
there's some unnecessary shots these players are taking. Nigerian players.
I told you about those shots.
Yes.
I just don't understand it sometimes. When, you know, you're outside of the box 18, you've got about umpteen defenders in front of you, and you decide to take a wild shot.
I don't know who tells them to do this. I'm like, even my six-year-old son won't shoot like that.
Listen, man, your six-year-old son has a better goal-scoring ratio than some of the players that are playing right now.
Yes.
You know, but let's talk about, we've talked about Victor Osimhen. A lot of criticism has gone his way in the last couple of matches, obviously because scoring goals is the most important part of any football match. So for a striker who has a massive spotlight on his back and coming with that, those type of records, the current best player in Africa, he's going to feel the pressure until the competition finishes. Let's talk about everybody else behind him. Let's talk about the midfielders. Let's talk about Iwobi. Let's talk about the defenders.
Chukwueze should be sent back.
Do we have any credible, creative player to really create chances the way we've seen the likes of JJ Okocha in the past, the likes of Wilson Orumah in the past, even wingers like Amunike, let's talk about Amokachi, let's talk about Finidi George. These are crucial players that make their positions important in the match. I don't think you talked about Chukwueze. We haven't seen any winger nor creative midfielder step up enough to even be able to assist the striker. It looks like we're all just saying, play for Osimhen. That shouldn't work.
And this is where I'm saying, okay, look, we don't even own any coaching license or anything.
We can see it.
Yeah. But the manager is there. I don't know what he's doing. Because if from the first and second match you did not learn, then on paper we've got the players who think, okay, can create chances like Chukwueze.
Yeah.
He plays well for AC Milan and all that. He scored a goal even before coming to... He scored a wonderful goal, which
Absolutely. I saw again
before coming to AFCON. So you come to AFCON and you guys are behaving like, oh, okay, nobody can talk to you, or because you earn money in euros and pounds and dollars or whatever. It's crazy. Again, I still don't know why they're benching
Kelechi
Iheanacho. From day one, I've always said it on this podcast.
It's probably the most natural goal scorer we have and we've ever had. Creative
player.
In the last 5 or 6 years.
Yes, and he does that for his club day in, day out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you've seen the players you've used struggle the first and second game. Introduce him today.
You have to try something else.
I bet you I can say if Kelechi plays with Osimhen, it will boost his confidence because Kelechi plays more of 1-2. He picks the passes.
Unpopular opinion, Ighalo would have probably been a more impactful player because, yes, he could score goals, but he also has attributes that can put him in positions such as the attacking midfield role and just behind the number 9 striker, which a lot of other players can benefit from. So, again, sometimes our selection going into competitions, because of the type of pressure that the public, analysts, fans put the coaches under, we might be pointing them into directions where you mentioned the striker from Insue at Equatorial Guinea, 34 years old.
In his club, he doesn't even play as a striker.
Exactly. If that was a Nigerian team, when you select a 34-year-old player to come to the championships and play a very important role, the press, the fans, the critics, the analyst, will be on your neck and will make life difficult for you.
But we've always seen in the previous tournaments where every team, especially the African teams,
yes,
they make sure they go to any tournament with at least two experienced players.
Experienced players, absolutely.
In this team, we've only got
Ahmed Musa. We went with the defender. No, and we also went with Omeru.
Omeru is still young. Even though he's played so many of them, he's still a young guy.
But Omeru has been there. Yeah. He carries a lot of experience. Experience not doesn't necessarily mean
but,
age.
But right now, even we know most of our defenders are not there yet, but the defenders have been able to hold it down. Well. They've done well.
I think they deserve...
We're getting chances and we're not scoring. It's not the defenders' fault.
Okay, I want us to pack that to the side because positive fans will say at least they've gotten the job done. They've qualified for the second round, the knockout phases, or the quarterfinals, the knockout phases of the AFCON Championships. What you expect from any national team going into a championship like this is to ensure that you maneuver yourself out of the group, which can be a banana kind of skin, and get you in trouble. That's been delivered. They can go back to their hotels, go back to the drawing board, and get this reviewed and probably come out with a better performance. Let's talk about the home nation, the Ivory Coast, going up against Equatorial Guinea and getting walloped 4-0 and probably are on their way out of these championships.
I think before I could, let me quickly touch on the Nigerian before I go to the listen. We see this happen with Greece in 2004.
Yes.
Argentina, when they won the World Cup, they struggled.
Yep.
So that's the only hope I'm holding now when it comes to the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
Yep.
So talk about the host nation.
The Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire.
Yes. I said it in
shout
our
out previous... my brother Afrobi.
Sorry, Afrobi. I said it in our last episode. I mentioned that guy in particular, Nsue, because I've studied
him. He was
him.
Very dangerous.
He's a dangerous player. I said, don't allow him. And we also, he scored two goals.
Two goals.
And the host nation losing to Equatorial Guinea, the mighty Ivory Coast, 4-0.
4-0 at home.
Is a disgrace.
When you spent so much money.
So much money, and you have all the fans behind you. Players should be flogged.
They dropped their shoulders early. They dropped their heads early. They were sad. You know, they kind of pitied themselves. It was just a show of lack of enough fight, in my opinion.
I'm still saying it because they don't care. When the Nations Cup used to be the Nations Cup.
Yes.
We saw a game against, it was on a Sunday, I will never forget that day. It was Cameroon, Nigeria.
Yeah.
If one team is down 2-0, you see the fight.
I think it was 2002.
Yeah, you Nations see the fight. Cup. And we had to, Okocha scored a free kick.
Yeah, I think it was 2002.
Even when Nigeria lose, we're still happy that Nigeria lost.
Because it was a fight.
It was a fight.
It was a fight.
We're not seeing that now. The only team doing that now is Cape Verde, and I love that team so much.
Senegal is also very consistent.
Consistent, but you see the underdogs now.
They're so dangerous.
Equatorial Guinea is doing it now.
They might go
all the way. When Senegal won the thing, they went all the way.
Yeah, Mozambique, nobody, Namibia. These are teams that Morocco have the potential.
Struggled. Yep. So I'm sure we're going to see new players this season. This tournament, we're going to see new underdogs come up again. And I'm sure this guy is 34 years old, this Nsue. I just want to believe a top team is at least let He'll him play one or two in, seasons in the top flight.
In the top
he deserves
league.
It.
He deserves
he
that.
He deserves it.
Now, speaking about, you mentioned Morocco, we mentioned Namibia, Mozambique, South Africa had a fantastic game. Over the last couple of days, especially this weekend in the AFCON Championships, some of the headlines coming out of the championships has not only been about football. Sadly, we have had to discuss racism.
Yeah.
Where I think it was Morocco and what team that...
Is it Congo?
Yes, Congo. Morocco and the Republic, the Republic of Congo went head-to-head in a high... kind of paced match. There was a lot of emotions in there. The expectations of Morocco are also high. Haven't come from such a fantastic run at the last World Cup. They're the highest ranking African team on the football ranking. Their first match, they scored. Mm-hmm. It was comfortable, but they went into this match against Republic of Congo and Democratic Republic of Congo, and ultimately the match ended 1-1.
Yeah.
Now, during the course of the game, a back and forth happened between one of the players of the Democratic Republic of Congo and the Moroccan coach, where there was a little bit of a back and forth. And whilst the player was going into the tunnel, other Moroccan players lunged at him and, you know, a scuffle continued down the tunnel. Now, what we later heard was that after that scuffle, there was an exchange. The Moroccan national team coach wasn't happy about what the player had said. The player came back saying he has so much respect for the coach. He didn't say anything that way. Whatever happened, social media, after the Congolese player's post, there were a lot of racist comments in his post on social media. And that wasn't the only racism conversation. In Udinese, over the weekend, Juventus coach had to walk off the pitch, having received multiple monkey chants whilst he was in goal. It also happened between Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United, where the goalkeeper, you know, the players as well received a lot of monkey chants from the stands. It brings back this conversation again. Are FIFA, the footballing authorities, are they doing enough to eradicate the game of this disease of racism that has haunted this beautiful sport for decades, afflicted black and minority players consistently in leagues like the Premier League, the English League, the La Liga, the Serie A, the German League. And now we're seeing traces as well affect us in the AFCON Championships. What should be done? We've talked about points deduction. We've talked about, you know, forfeiting the match. We've talked about huge fines. But none of those seem to be deterring this consistent bunch of hoodlums and racist bigots that attend these matches. What do you think should be done?
I think, number one, racism cannot live because it's like some people earn a living off it. Especially in football, there's a saying that whatever the government has got a hand in doesn't go. So definitely they know what they're doing and they won't let it go.
Wow.
Because if there are some things they need to do, that trust me, it's just like, oh, a lot of people love going to Dubai. I have my cousins who has moved here from the UK to Dubai to live in. And sometimes when I visit Dubai, the plane lands at midnight.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, well, you just come in. Like, the door is not locked. The car is outside. Literally, it's because there's a strict punishment for
against crime.
Against crime.
Yep.
So we all know what to do to stop racism. It's simple.
It has to be hard.
It has to be
hard. Has to be direct.
If I saw the guy's post and I saw the amount of racism, racism comments. It's pathetic. If CAF as an organization in Africa, it's either Morocco as a team is banned, or is banned, or
deducted points.
Deduct 50 points so that when they get to the next tournament, they are still playing for the points. That's if they qualify. Then you see, it will stop.
Go hard.
It will stop. And for people chanting monkey, this, they can easily catch them. They won't tell me they can't
nowadays,
catch them.
Nowadays, especially with the security cameras.
Yeah, they
with
can.
With closed-circuit cameras, with
if
all
the
these
clubs
things.
Are not willing to catch them, ban the club. Give them 50 points deduction. You see, they will start bringing up people. Easy. And when people go to the stadium and
they
know
behave themselves.
If I'm being caught, at least 10 years jail. 10 years in prison.
Or just complete ban, lifetime ban from football matches.
Football stadium, football matches, yeah, they will stop.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we human beings. It's just like in Nigeria where we misbehave. But when we see the army, the soldier, we behave. It's as simple as that. There's nothing anybody can tell me. And me, I'm for this thing where, okay, if you racially abuse me, is that abuse you back? Or I treat you how a racist should be treated. When they allow people, because imagine the Congolese players react now, they will get into trouble.
Yeah.
Get something, bust their face. I'm sorry, this is on TV. No, but this thing is
we don't advocate
too much
for violence here.
Yeah, but it's getting too much. Yeah. The racist comments are out of control.
Absolutely.
Then they need to do something. CAF, you need to do something about that.
FIFA has to step up. They have to start deducting points, huge fines, banning teams.
Yeah.
And that would definitely trickle down to their fans and supporters to ensure that they behave properly going forward. Now, quickly, before we go, the group stages are done. Now it's the knockout stages. Yeah. We're talking about the quarterfinals. We've seen Senegal. We've seen Cameroon. You know, we've seen a lot of these teams. Nigeria is definitely receiving a lot of heavy criticism and stuff. What do you see in the next phase of this tournament? There's still a few teams yet to qualify, but what do you see in the next phase of this tournament based on what you've seen so far?
More shocks.
More surprises.
Yes. Mm. If teams like Nigeria and some top teams don't put themselves together,
Cameroon.
Yeah. They will receive the and the thing is for Nigeria, I mean, I was telling one of my boys, I said, it's better we don't get to the knockout stage and we just leave now in peace.
Because our emotions will be high.
Yeah. And those I trust Nigerians. Those players, they should just go back to their
individual
clubs
and just forget it.
Because they will stone them in Nigeria.
Perhaps, maybe this is what Nigeria has, you know, as a team needs, to be able to turn back and do what the likes of Samson Siasia and Stephen Keshi, what they did, where they were looking at home for more motivated and incredibly talented and very hungry football players. Speaking about hunger, this jollof rice and assorted meat has been waiting for a couple of moments for us to dig into. As always, we are live from the Enish Media Studios in central London at Enish Restaurant at Covent Garden. You can come here and grab your own plate of rice as well.
Yes.
We'll be catching you next time on the Froballers podcast, discussing the next, you know, discussing the next group stages. We're talking about the knockout stages, what's going to happen from then on. Make sure you stick it here, support us as we build this platform to talk more about our African, Afro-Caribbean, and African-American athletes. Until next time, for Walls and myself, it's peace. We're out. Let's go to this jollof rice, man. Let's make this happen.
Yes.
Let's go. Enish!